and the pod creep has officially ended. Officially, as opposed to officially. Well, you know, words. That's a Shakespeare quote. Hello. My name is Andrew Whipple. This is a show called The Profundity Podcast. This is functionally the restart of all the nonsense because. So I actually had been doing this show for about half a year. I started it last January 2015, because I wanted to, and it was fun, and it was bad, and it was terrible, and then got decently kind of not terrible at it over the course of the summer of 2015, when I got a new microphone and started using it, and everything was happy and well and good. And then I took a week or two off, and in a term that Mike Rugnetta coined when discussing his own podcast, Reasonably Sound, which is a great podcast that is going independent soon, which is exciting. News was released about that. I don't know if he coined the term, but he's the first person I ever saw use the term of pod creep, which is where you go on hiatus. And you go on hiatus for a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month even. And then that just slowly becomes more and more and more, because the inertia of starting back up is hefty and significant and real and existent. So that's the deal. That's the deal. But that's what happened. That's the moral of the story. This is a show that has me as a human. I'm a person that says words. And that's about all you get. That's about how it goes. We are, however, doing a thing in that we are setting this timer. We are setting this timer for half an hour, and this will be no more than that today, by virtue of the fact that I don't want to do this for more than half an hour. I think that's acceptable. All right, ready? And let's go. So, this is a show where I say words into a microphone, and those words are things that are maybe listenable? I don't know. We'll find out. But I've been in the process of, with a friend of mine, working on starting up a new podcast. Startup podcast. Yay, startups. Starting up a new podcast, and that got me thinking about, like, okay, how to set up systems for hosting of media and publishing and blah, 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 blah. But that got me thinking, okay, cool, I can also use that to host this thing as well, because I'm already paying for the hosting of one, and I can be clever and split things around. But in doing that, I was thinking, okay, well, I don't like the majority of the episodes of this particular thing. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think a lot of them are very good or remotely worthwhile listening to, but there are a few that I actually kind of enjoy. So, if you've noticed, you probably will have noticed by now, if you are someone who was already a subscriber, that there, where there once was 20-odd episodes, there's now 6. I'm committing to 6, I guess, now. Maybe there'll be less, who knows. But these are the ones that I actually kind of dig, that I think are kind of good and are kind of worth listening to. And the interesting thing that I found about interesting, that was a weird way of saying the word interesting, the interesting thing that I found about selecting through those episodes, the ones that sort of spoke to me, is like, these are the ones that I feel proud of, and these are the ones that I feel okay putting on a pedestal and having people listen to, is that they are all ones that, for the most part, the best of the best sort of revolve around some sort of topic, or at least have some sort of through line pushing them. And that way, you know, you might have a through line that you push against, you have a framework that you're fighting, but nonetheless, there's still a frame there, which I think is valuable. So that's the other thing is I'm going to attempt to do is to, while not come into things with things pre-planned and not necessarily have everything worked out, what I'm going to say, obviously not. You've been listening to this for several minutes. You know that I clearly didn't plan a lot of the stuff that I'm saying right now. But to have an idea of a direction to proceed, some sort of framing device to get us, at least I'll know that that's a place that I should attempt to hit. That's a thing to attempt, a post to, oh, there's a phrase I'm thinking of, but I can't wrap it around my head. But if this is the first, well, okay, realistically, almost 100% of the people that are going to listen to this are people that are my friends, so I don't need to do any resetting or explaining of who I am. But I don't know, maybe you're interested, maybe someone's going back and finding this whole episode after something that I've done that gains a reason for humans that don't know me to care at all about me on the internet. I don't know, whatever. I'm currently a senior in college. I am working towards, through my last 2 quarters here as an undergraduate. I'm in California, Northern California at the moment. I will be graduating and then leaving Northern California and also leaving from the ancestral homeland of Seattle, Washington, which is where I am from. I will not be going back to there. I will, in fact, be going to Chicago, and I will be doing the working thing, and that will be fun. It's exciting. I do have a job lined up, which is a good thing to, while it's terrifying in different ways, it at least removes the stress of trying to figure out what the job is. Again, not to say that it's not terrifying for other reasons, but mainly for the fact that, like, oh, I should figure out moving. And also living real life as an adult. That's a horrifying, terrible thing to have to think about. But that's me. That's me. What are things I like? I like Shakespeare a lot. I like Star Wars a lot. I like podcasts a lot. I like podcasts a lot. That's a big distinguishing feature. I listen to a lot of them. I listen to a whole heap and helping of a lot. And when I say a lot, whatever you're thinking is probably not correct, because I listen to a lot of podcasts. I like music a lot. I like coffee. I like Disneyland. I like Disneyland a whole heap and heck of a lot. I like philosophy. I like audio engineering and audio stuff. I like computer science and programming. I like Apple, the company, and following their foibles. Then there are other things that I'm sure that are things that I like. I like Batman. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the, if we're going to define people by their likes and dislikes, then, and that's what we're going to choose as a shorthand to get to know the unimaginable complexities that are human beings, then that's a pretty good set right there that you can use to define me. Speaking of music, and speaking of music and things I like, this is the thing that I want to talk about today, and this is the reason for the season. It's early January. I ideally would have not done this 2 weeks in, but whatever, this is the life we're, and who knows when this is being released. Maybe it'll be released in a couple weeks. I don't know. It's still relatively close to the end of 2015, and I listened to a fair amount of music over 2015, which I feel good about. A lot of it was sort of a rush towards the end to catch up the albums that I knew that I wanted to listen to that I'd missed. But so I am interested in discussing the albums that I liked in 2015, then through the version of like a top five and whatever, but it'll be a more freeform discussion. We'll get to a top five, but nonetheless. But while I'm looking here, I have on my notes just searches for like albums to try and find the note that had the albums that I listened to written in. And I noticed that I also have ones of from 2014. So I'm curious to see what were the ones that I liked in 2014. Okay. So 2014, my favorite albums were number one, The Both by The Both. Good. I would keep that in the top five, maybe not up to number one. Teenage Retirement by Chumped. Chumped is a lovely band out of Brooklyn that is performing their last show very soon, maybe even this week. Maybe they already performed their last show, who knows? But they're a lovely little pop punk band. That sounds, I like to describe them as if the boys from Blink 182 had a bratty little sister that moved to New York instead of hanging out in SoCal. 1989 by Taylor Swift. Okay, this is the problem, is that I think I would move 1989 to number one. Maybe keep the rest of this. Okay, we'll go through the rest of it. So, The Both. Teenage Retirement, Chumped. 1989, Taylor Swift. Dark Comedy by Open Mike Eagle. Open Mike Eagle is a very wonderful musician, human person, who I saw perform in France. Ooh, can you hear that? Because I can hear it in my headphones, so I think you can. Well, hold on. Yeah, it's making a little meter move. Okay, well, that was lovely. A little noise. Yay for soundproof windows. The windows are closed, aren't they? Yes, they are. Okay, cool. That's just the soundproofing that we have to work with. Open Mike Eagle is a hip-hop artist, rapper, human person who is very good and has sort of opened my eyes, not just to the indie rap scene, the LA indie rap scene, people like Bus Driver and Serengeti and all sorts of Hellfire Club humans, former Hellfire Club humans. I don't know what's up with Hellfire Club. It's confusing, and I don't actually know the story very well. But not only has he opened me up to that, but in general, like, I didn't listen to very much hip-hop up until last year. And I still don't listen to a ton of it, but I listened to way more than I ever did, and by virtue of the fact that, like, I never thought that it was the kind of music that I would enjoy because of institutionalized racism. So thank you, from Mike Eagle, for showing me that, hey, guess what? Your racist ideals of what is good music do not hold. Hooray. And then number five, Stay Gold by First Aid Kit. I don't know if I would keep... I mean, I'm trying to think of what other albums came out last year that could even... this album was good, but I don't feel... I feel weird having it be top five. It's really four albums that I really liked, and then the First Aid Kit album that I liked two songs off of. And loved two songs off of, but... Yeah. Okay, so I would reorganize this by putting 1989 to number one, because... Duh. And then I... Maybe moving... Dark Comedy up too. So maybe instead we'd have, instead of being at number three, 1989's at number one. Instead of being at number four, Dark Comedy is at number two. Then the Both and Teenage Retirement. Then keeping First Aid Kit, barring finding some other album that came out in 2014 that I liked better. Yeah. That seems fair. That seems reasonable. Maybe I'll put actually, the more I've listened to it, I'd put the Gaslight Anthem's Get Hurt. Maybe that would knock First Aid Kit of that list. Oh, I also have a 2013 one. Okay, so what are my 2013 albums? So this is not in a... This is a not list, just a list of nine. So we have Pure Heroin by Lorde. Yeah. Days Are Gone by Haim. Projection by Hannah Mraz. Yay, Hannah, you're my friend. And I really like your album. Southeastern by Jason Isbell. Endless Fantasy by Anna Minoguchi. Civil Wars by Civil Wars. More Than Just a Dream by Fits and the Tantrums. I love Fits and the Tantrums, but I didn't love this album. The soundtrack to The Unfortunates, which is the greatest theatrical experience that I've ever experienced. It's a weirdo rock rap folk blues musical that premiered at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in 2013, so hence why it's on my 2013 list. And I really liked it. It's just really, really good. It's really good. It's super bizarre, super weird, unbelievably difficult to wrap your head around and take in, and sort of the kind of thing that you have to just let wash over you and then see over and over again to start slowly peeling out pieces of plot and narrative as it reveals itself to you, rather than attempt to understand the first time through, because you won't be able to. I don't even know if I understand it after having seen it twice, listened to the album dozens of times, and read the script like four or five times. So there you go. And the Let's Start a Band EP by the Pride of Erie, Pennsylvania. Cool. Though this 2013 is the perfect example of a year where my favorite albums of the year are in fact ones with the, although maybe Pure Heroin still might stay at the top of that list because that Lorde album is one of my favorite pop albums ever. Where my favorite songs albums of the year are actually ones that I discovered in 2014, because I would add the fact that I didn't find Churches, Bones of What You Believe, and The Front Bottoms, Talon of the Hawk until 2014, and therefore they are not on this list, is a travesty. But now we can get to 2015. So I did listen to a fair amount of albums over the course of 2015. This list is not, in fact, up to date. Let me do some quick edits so I can get things on the list that I did, in fact, listen to, because there are ones that I did, in fact, listen to. Listen to me type. I wish that I could say words and understand how to. Yeah, that. Yep, that's it. That was it. Perfect. See, that's how you do it. Okay, are there any other ones that I did totally listen to that I am forgetting that I did? No? Okay. So, in this case, then, I listened to, like, 20 or so albums and a handful of EPs, which is a lot. So, here we're just going to go down the list of everything that I listened to enough to be able to put it on a list, or not on a list. I listened to Kara Jepsen's album Emotion, Waxahachie's album Ivy Trip, Grimes' album Art Angels, Brandi Carlile's album The Fire Watcher's Daughter, We Cool by Jeff Rosenstock, No City to Love by Sleater Kinney, 1989 by Ryan Adams, The Damn Wells by The Damn Wells, The Shape of Rat Pop to Come by Holy Child, Pageant Material by Casey Musgraves, Fetty Wap by Fetty Wap, Revival by Selena Gomez, Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit by Courtney Barnett, Two by Fiddler, Rose Mountain by Screaming Females, Every Open Eye by Churches, To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar, New Love by Alison Weiss, Thumbs by Bus Driver, Purpose by Justin Bieber, and Beat the Champ by The Mountain Goats. So we have that. We have that, and that's exciting. That's a fun place to place to be. Still typing up because one of my top fives is not on the top five list because I actually listened to it before, after I made this list about a month or two ago. Listen to how clicky my keyboard is. It's so clicky, which I don't know if I like or not, but it feels good to type on it, but it sounds so loud. I need to have my... See, okay, the way that I have this list is my album and then the artist and my favorite song on the thing, so... There we go. All right. But, so we can talk... Before we get to the actual top five, we'll talk about the ones that were close but didn't make the cut. There's also a handful of EPs that I like that I'm not listening along with the real albums, but they're all very good. Gloss, G-L-O-S-S, had an EP called Demo. They are a sort of neo-riot girl band, punk band out of Olympia, which is fun. Lisa Prank had an EP called Crush on the World. She's sort of a pop-punky weirdo from Seattle. I think from Seattle. And then my friend Kirsten had a great EP called You Had to Be There. So listen to all of those. And You Look a Lot Like Me by Malblum also was on that list. I've seen that because... So here we are in the 10 through 6 we can talk about quickly. Number 10 being You Look a Lot Like Me by said Malblum. I like the album, the song Robert Frost. Very good album, wonderful lyrics. It just didn't quite stick or hit with me all that much for whatever dumb reason. Waxahachie, Ivy Trip. This was an album that I loved, and I listened to, and then just more and more albums that were even better came out. It would be in a top 5 in another year, but c'est la vie. The Damwells by The Damwells, similar sort of dealio. Great album that I would love in another year, but just better stuff came out. Ryan Adams is 1989. So 1989 is one of my favorite albums ever, period. Might be my argument for the best pop album ever written of all time, though I'm willing to concede that because there are lots of other ones that were released over time. So it's obviously a contentious thing, and there will never be a number one consensus on that. But I enjoyed his cover album quite thoroughly, and it had the interesting effect of the songs that I liked the best on Taylor's album were not the ones I liked the best on Ryan's, and vice versa. On Ryan's album, I loved his version of Bad Blood, a song that I've been notoriously down on for Taylor. I loved his Wildest Dreams. I loved his I Wish You Would. I Wish You Would is the most sterling example of a song that I just don't... It's not that I dislike it, because there are songs on 1989 that I actively dislike, songs like Welcome to New York, Bad Blood to an extent. I Wish You Would is just one that's sort of like meh, which is much worse than dislike, because at least dislike, I'll listen to it and have an opinion about it, whereas I Wish You Would is something that I'll just always skip every time I listen through it. And it's one of my favorite tracks on Ryan's version, because you know what, that's just a song that works really well as an acoustic one. Although, as a side note, Taylor has been doing... did a bunch of stripped-down performances of 1989 songs at the Grammy Museum in September, and has been releasing them bit by bit. I need to be thinking about some stuff. Never mind. Okay, I know what we're going to do. Sorry. You'll see. Cool. And she did an acoustic version of Blank Space that worked really well. I liked it a lot, and it highlighted the ways in which because she sort of sings it with her country twang and is playing it on acoustic guitar, and highlights the way that, you know, while she is quote-unquote writing pop songs, there's always a lot of pop in her country, and there is still a lot of country in her pop, even if it's not present in the final produced version. But just sort of the melodic structure sounds like the way that you would write a country song. And some of those lyrics, if you take away the glitz and the glamour and her wearing the ball gown of it all, and then imagine her instead wearing cowboy boots and a flannel, then, you know, some of that those lyrics still work. They still hold, which goes to show production is important, and goes to show that aesthetic is important in conceptualizing one's idea of what the song is and how the song fits into the landscape of culture and the world. Every Open Eye, number 6, Every Open Eye by Churches, that when I loved the song Empty Thread. The thing about this album is that I resisted for a long time because I could not stand the song Leave a Trace, which was the lead single. And that was so disappointing to me because The Bones of What You Believe, it was a transcendent game changer of an album for me. It got me back into synth pop. I adored it. I love that album endlessly. And then Leave a Trace comes out and it just not only does nothing for me, I actively dislike it. So that just kept me for the longest time, did not listen to Every Open Eye. I started listening to it in December, listened to it through, and what I will say about it is that it is an album that is much more consistent than Bones of What You Believe. Bones of What You Believe is an album that is has the highs are higher and the lows are lower. It's got a lot more rough edges to it, whereas Every Open Eye is smooth, it fits through, everything sort of flows together. That being said, the highs of Every Open Eye never, like, again, my favorite song in Every Open Eye is Empty Threat. I also like the song Playing Dead, Make Them Gold, I think, is another one. I like those songs, but none of them are as good as my favorite songs on, none of them are as good as my favorite songs on Bones What You Believe. And when I say my favorite songs, I mean like half of the album or so. I would put a good 4, 5, 6 songs above anything off of Every Open Eye. And when you only have 2 albums out, then that, you know, says things. That being said, I would also put 4, 5, 6 songs off of Bones What You Believe below stuff on Every Open Eye. So there you go. It's right in the middle. And that's why, you know, gets number 6. It's not worth breaking into the top 5. Nowhere near as good as any of these albums on the top 5, but it is not bad either. And I like the song Empty Threat, and I like the music video for Empty Threat a lot because cute goth girl. Now bring into the top 5. Top 5 is the real ones. Top 5 are the one. It's arbitrary, but it's real. Because, of course, if you think of things in terms of lists, then that fluctuates the way that you think about their quality and think about them in terms of groupings. And it's an arbitrary thing, but it's an arbitrary thing that, like, actually reflects itself in one's thought process. Number 5, We Cool by Jeff Rosenstock, featuring the song You and Weird Cities, which I really liked. This album was so much fun. It was just so much fun. It's angry, but silly, but... So Jeff Rosenstock is a DIY music, punk music, pop punk, indie rock veteran. He was in the band Bomb the Music Industry, a very sort of notoriously DIY band, played around with a group called Jeff Rosenstock and Friends, and this is an album that he's doing solo, but with some, I think, some members of former groups, stuff like that, but under the name Jeff Rosenstock. And this album is just, it's a very coherent, consistent, but still kind of off-the-walls, crazy pop-punk album that blends country in there. There's, you know, Beers Again Alone, it's a straight up country song, but with loud shrieky guitars. There's a lot of shrieking, there's a lot of screaming, there's a lot of guitars that, like, go crazy out into wild distances, and it's anchored by a super supremely rock solid rhythm section, which is what allows groups like you'll see this actually again in the number 4 slot album, but I love when there are groups that have you can let your guitarist and your singer sort of go wild, and that only works if you have an incredibly, incredibly, incredibly tight rhythm section. And that's, I think, what Green Day always did so well, is that they had, it's sort of a different version there, it's more they had incredibly simple, bare-bones guitar backed by very interesting, complicated, and intricate drum and bass. Jeff Rosenstock has sort of sloppy guitar and sloppy singing, but it's okay because it's being backed up by a perfect rhythm section that just keeps you in time, keeps you on groove, keeps you on beat, keeps you moving forward. Wonderful. I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. And it's poppy, and it's excellent, and it's really full of pathos. It's some of the songs, like Nausea is some of the most gut-wrenching stuff that you'll find outside of a Mal Blum album, I guess. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Number 4, because we're getting close to the end. Okay, number 4, No Cities to Love by Slater Kinney. Exact same thing you have there. Carrie Brownstein goes wild and shrieks and screams and is loosey-goosey and her guitar is fuzzy and rah. And then you have Janet Weiss and, Corn Tucker are completely locking it down, keeping it good, keeping it moving. Slinky bass lines that are not actually bass because they're played by Corin Tucker on a guitar, with rock steady, some of the best rock drum, just straight ahead rock drumming in rock drumming. This is a wonderful album, I loved the song Fangless, that was my favorite, because I think that's a, but also it's worth noting that their music video for A New Wave is featuring the kids from Bob's Burgers. So that's great. Number three, another album that, unlike Churches, that I didn't listen to because I was scared that I wouldn't like it, and I didn't like the first single. This is one that I just knew that I would like it, but it was so hyped up and built up that I was like afraid to tackle it. And that is the magnum opus that is Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. It's so good. It's so good. And all three of the albums that I have in my top three are ones that, for me, there's this way that the music not only it's not so much that it tells you, it's sort of that show don't tell idea, but that's a bad way of thinking about it. It's more that the music sounds like, for me, what happens inside of my head at various points. That's what that's what all five of these actually do. We Cool, Jefferson Suck songs will sound like a certain type of what goes on in my head. Same thing with Sleater-Kinney, and same thing with To Pimp a Butterfly. It just like sounds like the inside of someone's head. And that is a marvelous, I think that's sort of, for me, a little bit of the difference of goodness versus greatness, that you can make really good stuff that makes you think about stuff and whatever, but great stuff is that you listen to it and you're just there. You are either in a place, or, in my opinion, much more interesting, and the thing I like more and what will make something stick with me more and more, is you're not just in a place, but you're in a headspace. And that's what this masterful, weird, crazy, off-the-wall, bonkers Magoo album that pulls in all sorts of insane sonic choices, and lyrical choices and repetitions and stuff like that. It sounds like the inside of a head, which, side note, is also why I love the song Hotline Bling, in that that is a song that sounds like the inside of the head of someone that is narcissistic and insecure. And whether or not Drake the character versus Drake the person are actually, there is a difference, though I think there is a difference, whether or not he's actually aware of that difference, it's the fact that Drake the character makes bad decisions over the course of that song and is living in a dangerous mind space is reflected in the way that the video and the way that the song is constructed, and I think is, whether intentional or not, is valuable to analyze. And that's why I love it, is because it is a example of an honest, it's not a thing of this is what the type of headspace and the type of opinions that you should have, but it's an honest example of what it is like to experience them. So anyway, there's that side tangent, but yeah. Okay, moving right along. Number two, Art Angels by Grimes. Oh my goodness gracious, I love this album. Again, bonkers, weird, crazy, sounds like the inside of a head, and sounds like 17 different types of insides of the head, because it is all there and all just off the wall and bonkers and crazy. And I never got into Grimes. I was not someone that liked Grimes before. I would always try to listen to Oblivion or Genesis or any of those songs back in 2012, back in 2013. Yes, 2012 was when she was actually a big deal, but 2013 even was like, no, I know I should like Grimes. I need to get into Grimes. I'm a hipster. I need to like Grimes. And it just never stuck. Never stuck. And here she comes and turns into much more hard-edged and much more poppy and much more driven by a go ahead beat, and most importantly, the vocals are audible. The vocals are not drowned in layers and layers and layers and layers of reverb. I think that's the number one big change for me. And it's worth, oh, for Kendrick Lamar, I like the song I. There's a lot of songs I like on that album, but I is my favorite. For Art Angels, I'm torn between Kill Thee Maim is my actual favorite song on the album. Like, I like that song a lot, but I have never become so obsessed with a song so completely and so immediately as I did with Flesh Without Blood when the video for that came out. That is why I started listening to this album and got into Grimes. I heard that song, and I'm like, never mind, this song has hijacked my entire thought process. So Art Angels, Grimes, great album, wonderful, weird, bonkers, bizarre, phenomenal. And then number one, unsurprising for anyone that has listened to this in the past or knows me as a person, it is the album Emotion by Carly Rae Jepsen. I love the song Run Away With Me, and it's just, oh, I just love this album so much. It is everything that I want in music. It is everything that I want in music. That's all that it is. And this is going to be one of those albums that will be one of my favorites forever and ever and ever and a day. This goes at 100% goes up there with 1989, 100% goes up there with Pure Heroine. It's a perfectly constructed piece of pop music. And I think also shows the way of which it doesn't, there's so little biographical detail and so little tangible detail in this album. And I think that's intentional. And those are the kind of things that usually you might think of as flaws, but it allows it to, rather than put you in a place and put you in a story the way that Taylor Swift songs, for instance, can. This puts you in, this is what it feels like in the head, in the body, to experience. Like, listening to a song like Runaway With Me, the details don't matter. You just feel that yearning and desire that is the point and purpose of the song. And that's what Carly Rae Jepsen does so well. That is her artistry, is that she just puts you in an emotion, puts you in, that's the name of the album, puts you in a body, puts you in a headspace, and that's what's great about it. So, welcome back. Hello, mes amis. And we're going to head off with an end song. That's a thing that I used to do and then stopped doing, and then we're going to bring it back. And who would have ever guessed what the end song will be this week? But anyway, again, my name is Andrew Whipple. This is the Profundity Podcast. You can subscribe to it places. And hopefully I'll be back next week. We'll find out. We'll see if Pod Creep returns. Bye-bye.